Blog Talk Radio.
I know you're gonna dig this.
Welcome to H Blues Word.
You are now rocking with the best.
Good evening. I am your host, Stacey Gore, and you are listening to H Blues Word on Hampton Blue Radio via Blog Talk. It is Monday, January 20th, 2014. It is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, or for short, you can say MLK Day, a day of national service. Tonight, we will be speaking on Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and the outrage that has occurred due to party promoters placing his image on flyers promoting the twerking culture. Twerking, for those who don't know, is a form of dance where usually a young woman shakes her butt in a provocative way. We will also speak on Oliver Stone backing out on an upcoming biopic regarding Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Stone states he had to back out due to the King family not wanting to speak on Dr. King's personal flaws and even professional flaws. But before I begin my commentary, remember to follow us on Twitter at Hampton Blue, no E on the blue, or on Facebook.com/Hampton Blue, again, no E on the blue, so that is BLU. You can also catch the archive of this episode and other episodes on iTunes, the Stitcher app, which you can find online or via your phone, or on our Blog Talk page. So just simply search Hampton Blue Radio, and there we will be for all of those different platforms. And remember, it is free. A lot of people, again, do ask me that, particularly regarding iTunes, but it is free. Just go to their podcast section and search Hampton Blue Radio, and you'll see it. But now to our discussion. Now, many across the country, including the family of Martin Luther King Jr., are outraged by a trend of using the slain civil rights leader's image to promote parties held around his holiday. Several flyers have surfaced in recent years, most recently one advertising a freedom to twerk, which you can find via the Blog Talk audio player where you are likely listening to this particular show. But you can see the flyer right there. It advertised a freedom to twerk, which is a dance party for teens in Flint, Michigan. It made a big splash on social media. In fact, I even put it up on my own personal Facebook and got a lot of comments regarding that. The flyer featured King's digitally manipulated onto the body of rapper Young Jeezy, complete with tattoos and a large gold chain. When news of the event reached the owner of the venue where it was to be held, it was promptly canceled.
He did not allow us or our staff to view the advertisement, which is specifically states in our contract. So that was my out.
Dick McEwen owns the venue, the Social Network Event Center on Corona Road. He's also a barber in town and says he was cutting hair Friday when he got an email and then text of the flyer.
I saw the gang sign. That was appalling. Okay, and then to see the gold chain, that was appalling. In this twerking term.
McEwen says he met with the promoter.
His exact words was, I was trying to make my party grow, and I felt like this was the way to do it, to appeal to the youth of today.
Yeah, to appeal to the youth of today. Well, the party in Flint wasn't the first of its kind, however, and unfortunately. There was the fourth annual MLK Chocolate Affair and the Bopping for Peace parties last year. And in 2012, there was a Miami strip club who made news with their I Have a Dream Bash, which they promoted with a flyer featuring an altered image of King holding wads of cash next to a scantily clad woman. So, to me, this is just straight out of an episode of the Boondocks, which I will play clips of at the end of the show. The episode was called A Return of the King. And you'll definitely find that to be interesting, but that's what this sounds like to me. It's completely unreal. If you believe in conspiracies, like the alleged conspiracy that hip-hop was used as a tool to dumb down, particularly black people and Hispanic people, situations like this definitely will make you believe such conspiracy. Now, a man associated with the event in Flint, Michigan, told reporters he meant, again, no disrespect with the flyer. But still many others say the use of Martin Luther King Jr.'s image in such a manner trivializes his legacy and the seriousness of the causes for which he fought. I think it's pretty distasteful to put Martin Luther King's image on a flyer, but I've definitely seen it done many times, says Brandon Smith, who is founder of Seattle Social, a Washington events promotion company. He says, I personally think most club flyers are distasteful and have this discussion all the time. They usually show some scantily clad, overly Photoshopped model that has nothing to do with the event or company. So I guess in his mind that there's always been, whether it's with Martin Luther King's face on it or whoever's face on it, there tends to be distaste and misogyny when it comes to these club flyers. Now, Smith adds that money and attention are the main motivators for most event organizers. He states it's MLK weekend, so they put MLK on the flyer. Most promoters probably don't think about it being disrespectful when they're making them because, of course, the main goal is to make money. So, you know, that's obviously the focus. But my issue with the mindset of the promoter of the Flint, Michigan party where he says he meant no disrespect or, you know, it was just a thing pretty much, just a party, is that there tends to be, there's a sense of apathy or indifference, and that to me is quite dangerous. As a matter of fact, as Dr. King stated, it is not malicious acts that will do us in, but it's the appalling silence and indifference of good people that will, in fact, do us in. So it's such an insane contrast that in the 60s you had 20-something-year-olds organizing boycotts, sit-ins, you know, just real heroic stuff. And some of them were even killed or at least their lives were threatened. And now we have 20-something-year-olds organizing events, promoting, again, misogyny, colorism, because there's even parties that say, you know, dark skin versus light skin and all this craziness. So, you know, there's promotion of self-hatred, and, you know, using the image of one of our biggest leaders of the civil rights movement is just, as many are saying, just completely appalling. Dr. King's daughter, Bernice King, shared her own feelings on this particular flyer.
I lost a father who sacrificed everything for them to live a much more dignified and respectful life. And for it to come to this whole imagery thing is just appalling.
Yes, like you said, it's very appalling. And many are asking, you know, where is this even coming from? Is the generation that's putting on these events, where did we go wrong with them? Bernice King definitely agrees with me that it definitely starts with education, and there is a lack of education. So we need to start there to help the young people to better understand the importance of not only Dr. Martin Luther King, but all of the heroes of that era, and even before that era, the heroes and the unsung heroes.
Well, I think we have to do a consistent campaign on social media. I think we have to have settings where you have smaller groups of them because they're going to infect the rest of their generation. So if you get a few of them and you put them on a specific assignment, I think they can help their peers to better understand. We have a camp called the NOW Camp, Nonviolence Opportunity Watch. And one of the things we do as a part of that camp is to not just talk about Dr. King's nonviolent principles and steps, but we take them down to the places where the movement was led, down to Montgomery, down to Birmingham. And you'd be surprised, those authentic places, and some of the people are still living. My daddy's barber, for instance, is still living. He tells a lot of the stories. It really connects with those young people and wakes them up to the fact that, wow, I didn't even realize and recognize, you know, how all of this stuff happened. And for me, I'm going to begin to live my life a different way. I mean, we had a few of them say, we learned more in this one day about history than we learned in our entire year taking a history class.
Yes. So again, we have to do better. And I personally think where we went wrong, because look, I'm not old. I'm a part of the millennial generation, the generation that is, I guess, putting on these events. And I am appalled, but again, I'm a part of the older part of this generation. So I feel it is my place to call out some of the youngins, if you will, of my generation, to call them out on this. And look, not all 20-somethings are down with this, but enough are to the point where we should feel alarmed and have to, again, ask ourselves, where did we go wrong? I personally think where we have gone wrong is wanting too bad to have a piece of the so-called American dream. We assimilated too deeply that we have forgotten our own communities. We have forgotten to educate our youth about our history. Again, as Bernice King stated, you know, we really have to come together and educate our youth. She stated in the clip you just heard, you know, we have to make an effort to educate a group of young people about the history of the civil rights movement and what it meant, as many of those young people will begin to perhaps better understand and not have such apathy when it comes to our past. So, you know, we have to do better, especially the so-called talented tenth, the sororities and fraternities. In my opinion, we have to serve more and make a stronger statement. And that's the end of it. In fact, Bernice King continued her discussion again on how we could come up with some solutions.
Well, I think we take too much for granted. I think the holiday sometimes kind of makes people think that you automatically know. Wow, they don't know, and we have a national holiday. But you can't do it in a day. It has to be a lifestyle. It has to be something that we're doing in the schools. It has to be something we're doing in the churches, and it has to be something we're doing in the homes and in our community organizations. And I don't think we're doing enough of that holistically on a consistent basis. I mean, every time I go to programs that all of us sponsor, I see very few young people present. And I try in everything that I do to be very intentional about their involvement, not in a peripheral way, but in a very central way.
Does it worry you that there aren't enough young people in the audience?
It does when I see that. It does. We're going to choose nonviolence as a lifestyle. And so for the next 5 years, we have called for we've launched a Choose Nonviolence campaign. And on Daddy's actual birthday, as the beginning part of that, on this past Wednesday, we launched our 100 Days of Nonviolence, and people can go to choosenonviolence.org, and their tips there, their quotes there, activities there people can engage in, and we'll be doing other seminars, workshops, dialogues, retreats, and our NOW camp in June again at the King Center for young people 13 to 18 years of age.
Yeah, so, you know, again, we have to do more to help our youth. If we want to live the dream, I get that, do want to live the dream, but we can't leave others behind to live in a nightmare. Otherwise, we all will be faced again with that very nightmare. So now, Dr. King did not die for us to forget who we are. Now, a commentator on CNN who knew Dr. King when he was alive was asked, what would Dr. King say about the freedom to twerk flyers? Of course, we will never know for sure how Dr. King would have reacted, but he guessed that Dr. King would not belittle the organizers of the party or chastise them per se. Instead, he would want to better understand what would have caused them to create such flyers. He would want to, again, better educate them on their history and teach them the true purpose of life, which is to serve others and not to make a quick buck while disrespecting themselves or their history. Now, R. Lewis McCoy is an assistant professor of sociology and black studies at the City College of New York. He says the trend of using King on flyers points to a much greater issue, the commodification of the civil rights leader's image in popular culture, something he says was in the works long before there was an official holiday. He says, we have a moment in time now where Dr. King's legacy has been so sanitized and commodified that he's become a symbol. He says, we haven't given a full, honest telling of his legacy. Now, nearly 50 years later, we have images of Dr. King that are simply symbols being used to attract attention. That's because we haven't engaged in the politics. Again, not all 20-somethings are misinformed about their history, particularly the 20-somethings at MLK's alma mater, Morehouse College. Morehouse Student Government Association President Anthony J. Simonson says that even with all of the attention surrounding the flyers, it's important to note that many young people still honor King's contribution. He says a lot of young people are aware of the sacrifices that Dr. King and many others made, especially on our campus, he says. He says we get that these were people who went to jail, had dogs sipped on them, and more for our rights. He says we take it very seriously. Here we honor Dr. King by living out his message of attending to the vulnerable and working toward equality. That's still the goal and what the holiday is about for many. So I say bravo to Anthony, and thank you for keeping Dr. King's message of racial and economic equality alive. And for me, to those who think it's cute or funny to put the image of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. on a party flyer promoting twerking and misogyny, this one's for you by Dr. King. He states, nothing in all the world is more dangerous than sincere ignorance and conscientious stupidity. It doesn't get any deeper than that. Now, in other Martin Luther King Jr. news, Oliver Stone, who was attached to the Steven Spielberg-produced biopic, he recently hit social media announcing he would no longer work on the picture due to producers and the estate of Dr. King not approving his script, which included Dr. King's flaws, which have been printed up many times over, particularly in several biographies, including the Taylor Branch biography, and even on Broadway with the play Mountaintop. So, you know, it's really no secret. So, you know, it's interesting that the script was not approved, but the Oscar-winning director of JFK and Platoon, films he has done in the past, but he tweeted to his followers, sad news, my MLK project involvement has ended. I did an extensive rewrite of the script, but the producers would not go for it. The script dealt, he says, with issues of adultery, conflicts within the movement, and King's spiritual transformation into a higher, more radical being. He continued, I'm told the estate and the respectable black community that guard King's reputation won't approve it. He says they suffocate the man and the truth. He then added, I wish you could see the film I would have made. I fear that if they ever make it, it will be just another commemoration of the March on Washington. He concluded with, Martin, I agree for you. You are still a great inspiration for your fellow Americans, but thank God, not a saint. Now, believe it or not, I happen to agree with Oliver Stone. I personally would like to see a film showcase the complete man. I believe it does much more good to show all people, that is, that yes, Dr. Martin Luther King did have flaws. He was a human being. And I think by showing this, you particularly show young people that you, too, can make a difference in your life, even with your flaws. So by romanticizing Dr. King, you tend to make him one-dimensional, and you prevent us from knowing the truth and his complete genius. Blogger Maceo Faneuil said it best. He states, by ignoring, for example, MLK's radical legacy because his radical message would make many uncomfortable, we stop reminding America about its dirty past with racism, war, and poverty. Even though speaking on Dr. King's position on such issues would help America today, particularly better understand the roots of present-day social and economic political conditions. In other words, as an American hero, MLK is one of the greatest guides as to how we should face social and political issues of today. but we have to look at him completely and not in a one-dimensional kind of way. Dr. Michael Eric Dyson aptly suggests how we can best live MLK's legacy in his book, I May Not Get There With You, Martin Luther King Jr. He says, we can claim his brand of heroism by fully and honestly embracing the cantankerous differences that unite us in our constant pilgrimage to America. With King as a guide, we can discover America again and set off to conquer nothing less than the ignorance and fear that keep us from and not with each other. Today is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day, as I stated earlier, or as some may call it, a National Day of Service. And here are my final thoughts regarding this day and what it truly means. Some want to be super rich financially because they think money will give them happiness. Money itself does not give one happiness, in my opinion. There have been plenty of millionaires who have killed themselves. To me, money is not real. It is a man-made system. With that, we have gone from a barter system to banknotes. So it is simply another system of exchange, you know, exchanging of goods. So the only thing that is real, in my opinion, is energy. And some of the greatest energy you give and receive is when you serve others. With that, happy MLK Day and happy National Day of Service. That is my show for the evening. Be sure, again, to follow me on twitter.com/HamptonBlue or on facebook.com/HamptonBlue. Again, there is no E on the blue. If you would like to listen to an archive of this episode or others, check us out on iTunes and the Stitcher app or on our blogtalkradio.com/HamptonBlue page. All archives, again, are free to listen to. Be sure to catch Hollywood and Friends Sundays at 8 p.m. and also catch me and Miss Fancy Wednesdays at 11:30 p.m. Now, in closing, I would like to leave you with a clip from Aaron Magruder's satirical cartoon, Boondocks. Magruder wrote an episode entitled Return of the King, which posed the question, what if MLK did not die on April 4th, 1968, but instead went into a deep coma for 32 years? Imagine that he came out of his coma in the year 2000, to a new world that shocks him and causes him to question what he fought for during the height of the Civil Rights Movement. Magruder, in my opinion, magnificently created a story regarding a satire regarding the social, political, and economic changes that occurred in the 32 years while King was out. King's legacy was turned into a commodity, as we see today. The culture became more narcissistic, hedonistic. Streets which barred his name were ironically violent. Black people became apathetic, and people forgot what he actually stood for. This was actually written in 2006, so Magruder was definitely ahead of his time when he wrote this 8 years ago, and he's ahead of his time because look where we are now. Look where we are in 2014. We have freedom to twerk flyers. So with that, the clip is definitely an appropriate end for tonight. I'd like to thank you, Dr. King, for your dreams. We will continue to fight and ensure it comes true. I can't say it has fully yet, even with a black president. But until next time, peace.
Martin Luther King Jr. was shot in Memphis, Tennessee on April 4th, 1968. He was critically injured. Dr. King fell into a coma. The world waited for news of his fate. There were no riots. Time passed. King faded into memory. There was no national holiday. Then, on October 27, 2000, 32 years after he was shot, Martin Luther King Jr. came back. King amazed the world when on November 2nd, 7 days after awaking from a 30-year coma, he showed up to vote in the 2000 presidential election. He was turned away due to voting irregularities. People took to the streets to celebrate the return of their king.
Oh, shit, my nigga MLK! Hey, what's up, folks? Hey, that got a dream. Shit was off the chain, nigga.
Okay.
Hey, hold up, folks. Let a nigga roll. Let a
Thank
nigga march.
Thank you very much.
What's up, nigga?
He learned that streets named after him weren't his very favorite. King inked a seven-figure deal to write his autobiography called Dream Deferred. Columbia Pictures greenlit a $100 million biopic of Dr. King starring Cuba Gooding Jr. Oliver Stone was attached to direct. Spike Lee was pissed. King was released the week of September 21, 2001, 1 week after 9/11. Then, on October 15th, during an appearance on Politically Incorrect, King shot the country.
Great. Dr. King, okay, you're an advocate of nonviolence, but guess what? How do you think the United States should respond to the terror attacks of 9/11?
Well, as a Christian, we are taught that you should love thy enemy, and if attacked, you should turn the other cheek. What?
America was outraged.
The president was very concerned by some comments made by some ex-civil rights leaders, and those people in question should watch their goddamn fucking mouths.
Of course, an Al-Qaeda lover like Martin Luther King wants us to just roll over and let the terrorists win because he hates America. My suggestion? Go take another 30-year nap, commie bastard.
In December 2001, CNN named Martin Luther King one of the 10 most unpatriotic Americans. His book was canned, his house was vandalized. King renamed his book Dream Deterred, and it was finally released by a small publisher.
Excuse me, brothers and sisters, please. If someone could just...
King looked out on his people and saw they were in great need. So he did what all great leaders do. He told them the truth.
Will you ignorant nigga please shut the hell up?
He just said what I think he said.
Is this it? This is what I got all those ass whoopings for? I had a dream once. It was a dream that little black boys and little black girls would drink from the river of prosperity, freed from the thirst of oppression. But lo and behold, some four decades later, what have I found but a bunch of trifling, shiftless, good-for-nothing niggers. And I know some of you don't want to hear me say that word. It's the ugliest word in the English language, but that's what I see now, niggers. And you don't want to be a nigger, because niggers are living contradictions. Niggers are full of unfulfilled ambitions. Niggers wax and wane. Niggers love to complain. Niggers love to hear themselves talk but hate to explain. Niggers love being another man's judge and jury. Niggers procrastinate until it's time to worry. Niggers love to be late. Niggers hate to hurry. I've seen what's around the corner. I've seen what's over the horizon, and I promise you, you niggas have nothing to celebrate. And no, I won't get there with you. I'm going to Canada.
King's speech was replayed the entire next day on the cable news channel. Then, something unexpected happened. People got angry.
Nobody knows exactly what to attribute to the sharp decline in African-American dropout rates.
That is every African-American player in the NBA refusing to play until there is a full troop withdrawal.
Billionaire Bob Johnson apologizing to Black America for the network he founded.
The White House and Congress are receiving an unprecedented amount of calls from irate African-Americans.
And the revolution finally came. It's fun to dream.